Welcome back, Arizona. It's 8 o'clock. We're in the Outdoor Living Hour for Saturday of the week. We've got Farmer Greg joining us in studio. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask something about your urban farm or starting an urban farm.
Jump in.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can jump in like Farmer Greg said. Text can be sent to 411-923 or email info@rosieonthehouse.com.
I don't know why we need the sprinklers.
Not this
just
week.
Had rain.
Oh, yeah. Turn off your sprinklers. I've had my sprinklers off for the past month.
I think I've only watered once since Thanksgiving, and that was the pecan trees.
Yep.
And we do have a winter lawn, so I've been hitting that here and there.
You know what? I have a winter lawn in my front and backyard that I never planted. And I never water.
You don't have a six-year-old that spends 6 hours a day playing football on it.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I have a two-year-old pup, but that's about it.
So we've got our garden planning. You know, I don't know how many times I've seen, and I'm personally guilty of this, starting a garden, and you get started, and you catch the fever and you catch the bug and you go, and then all of a sudden you're completely overwhelmed.
Oh yeah.
And then the whole thing just comes to a complete stop and you don't have a garden anymore because you couldn't keep up.
You did too much too fast.
Too much too fast.
That is the biggest thing I warn people about when jumping into gardening, being green, you know.
Because you get that one little success and you want to multiply it 1,000 times over, and then it just becomes way too much
right.
success.
Right. Well, I coach people all the time. Just pick one thing, even if it's herbs on a pot on your patio. In fact, I tell people this all the time. The easiest thing to grow and the most expensive thing to buy in the grocery store are herbs. Basil, cilantro, mint, those kinds of things. And they grow great on a pot on your back patio. So that's a great place to start. So start simple.
We had a mint plant in a pot,
mm-hmm.
died, you know, which is pretty hard because it's a hardy bush.
Uh-huh.
One of those things, yeah, I'll get around to it. Next thing you know, 3 months later, it was regrowing itself.
Yep. Yeah, they die back in the winter sometimes. So, it's you know, we just got to be patient. Just got to be patient.
And that's a great thing that gardening teaches us, being patient.
Yep. And the other thing that it teaches us is about abundance. What I'm noticing this time of year is there is so much fruit on my citrus trees. And I was going to bring you some, Gary. I was going to bring you some oranges.
Mm, orange juice.
Yeah, there you go. Mm. There you go. The amount of abundance that comes off of my fruit trees all times of the year is just mind-blowingly amazing.
We had a guest stay over last night with us, one of the kids' friends.
Mm-hmm.
I went out and I picked probably about 30 oranges. And I was with the intent to squeeze it so we'd have it for the morning and, you know, last a couple days. I couldn't squeeze it fast enough before it was gone.
Yeah. That's why I just like to peel them and eat them. Makes it faster.
Oh, every time I filled up that glass, can I have some more orange juice? Help yourself.
There you go. So getting started with a garden, there's several things that you need to kind of understand before you before you really get going. And the single biggest thing that you can do to kill your garden is to put it in the wrong place. So having an understanding of where the sun is at in your yard at a particular time of year will inform you a lot about the success of your upcoming garden. So a northern exposure, anything on the north side of a property, well, let me put that a little differently. Anything on a north side of like a house or a wall is going to be a hard place to grow because northern exposures don't get a whole lot of sun. So if you're standing against the back wall of your house and you're looking north, that's a northern exposure. So if you put a garden in that space, it's probably not going to get enough sun to give you a great garden.
And it's easy to make that mistake because you think, oh, well, you know, shade, this is going to be great.
Exactly.
I'm going to protect it from the sun.
Exactly. And this, you know, this part of the puzzle can be a little bit confusing. But the thing I tell people often is go spend a year in your yard before you make any major changes and look where the sun is at and look where the rain is falling at. Spend time paying attention to nature that happens in your yard, because that's going to make your job hard or your job easy, depending on, you know, where you put your garden. A garden in a northern exposure is not going to likely grow because it's just not going to get enough sun. A western exposure gets sun from noon until sundown. Is that a good place for a garden or not? I'm pointing at Romy right now.
I feel like it's a trick question.
It is a trick question because it depends on the time of year. A western exposure in the summertime, your garden's going to cook. But it could be a perfect place for a wintertime garden where, you know, especially on days like today where it's so cold, if you have a western exposure, again, a western exposure gets sun from noon until sundown. If you put your garden there and it's a day like today, it's going to collect that heat in the afternoon and probably be a really great place for a garden. A southern exposure is anything on the south side of your house. So if you're standing against the back wall of your house and you're looking south, that's a southern exposure. But beware, if you look across your backyard, that wall across the backyard, that's likely a northern exposure. Again, not a great place to put a garden, but a southern exposure is a great place to garden. And an eastern exposure gets sun from sunup until noon. In my opinion, it's the best place to put your garden overall. So paying attention to the space where you have your garden is going to be a really important key to your long-term success of your garden.
So we've got that.
There is
that. Get it observed.
Then there's the, you want to talk
get
dirt
it selected.
Next? Yeah, there you go. So dirt is, let's see here. I thought we had the, yeah, we have segment 3 is all about healthy soil. So we'll jump into that. That really is number 2 though, putting healthy soil in your gardens, trying to grow in desert soil, desert dirt. Good luck with that.
need to add a little bit of supplement to it.
Right. So the next thing I want to touch on is microclimates. Microclimates are different spaces in your yard that are warmer or colder. You ever been hiking in the desert and you go down into a ravine or something and it gets 10 degrees cooler?
You just, you're immediately, the shivers go from
right,
you know, the whole distance of your back all the way up to the top of your forehead. It just, woo.
Yeah, exactly.
Where'd that
exactly.
come from?
Right. So those are called microclimates. And that's the next thing I want you to go discover about your yard is where are the microclimates at? Where are the warmer places? Where are the colder places? Now, I'm pointing at you again. What's going to make a warmer microclimate in your yard?
Shaded area.
Shaded area will make a cooler microclimate. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, you said a warmer microclimate.
Yeah, that's
sorry.
Right. But it's the same thing. You know, a really heavily shaded area is going to make a cool place in your yard. That could be a really good thing. It could be not so good. It depends on your space. The things that makes your space a warmer microclimate is concrete and gravel, those kinds of things. So if you have a concrete walls all the way around your backyard and gravel in your backyard, you're going to have a really warm space to grow. Probably going to kill a lot of things back there until you start addressing how to keep the space cooler. And honestly, the easiest way to make the space cooler is to plant shade. It takes a little bit of time to grow. And I am a huge proponent. We need at least 1 million shade trees in Phoenix, if not 10 million or 100 million shade trees in Phoenix over the next decade. In fact, that's one of the projects I'm taking on next year is how do we get 1 million native shade trees planted in the Phoenix metropolitan
native.
Area?
Oh, native. I thought you were going to go with some kind of edible, but with your mesquite mill.
There
you
go. That's right. So the three things that I like to plant that are native trees are ironwood, which are
my favorite,
and edible. Palo Verde.
Never eaten an ironwood.
Ironwood bean. Palo Verde are edible. And mesquite are edible. You just have to get the right kind. And that's the challenge we're running into right now with my fruit tree program. We're kind of transitioning into desert edibles with it and trying to find native mesquite trees, native Palo Verdes. That's hard. It's hard. They just carry the Chilean ones. And if you ever tried to eat a Chilean mesquite bean, it's like, oh, I wouldn't want to put that in my mouth.
They're just easier to sell because of they don't have nearly the thorns that the native mesquites. And I guess it depends on how native you go. A lot of people say mesquites aren't even native to Arizona. They've come over from Texas. But, I mean, we're going back thousands of years at that point. So, I mean, how long does something have to be here locally to be native? They, you know, people that weren't even born here call themselves native just that, you know, well, I've been here more than 5 years. I'm a native. I've been here more than 10 years. I'm a native. I've been here more than 20 years. I'm a native. So I guess it just depends on how far back you want to go to be quote unquote native.
There you go. So we actually have a supply of native mesquite trees coming out of Tucson for our fruit tree program, which I'll tell you about a little later on in the hour.
So Mesquite Valley growers?
No.
Okay. I was just, you mesquite, Tucson. I thought maybe. Yeah,
there you go.
Okay.
No, there you go. So we've got native mesquites coming out of Tucson, and it's not quick, but the best and least expensive way to plant shade, to put shade in your yard, is to plant it. So getting, you know, if you have a really hot backyard, planting shade is going to be imperative. Plus, it's going to cool your house, you know, especially on a western exposure.
So there's your three natives. Native mesquite, not the Chilean.
Yep.
Palo Verde.
Yep.
Not Palo Brea. Palo Verde.
Palo Verde.
And the ironwood.
And exactly.
Which I think is the prettiest desert tree.
Oh, yeah.
When it's in bloom and it's fully matured. They're very slow growing, take a long time, but there is just something stoic about the look of an ironwood that, to me, takes it for your top choice of native trees.
Well, and another native that's not edible that grows so fast is the sweet acacia. It's really thorny. But the sweet, I've got a 6 month old sweet acacia in my backyard that's 8 feet tall. So came up from seed. Oh yeah, it grows blindingly fast. So,
and a part of that is your good soil, which we'll talk about.